Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today we are three quarters of the way through Wind and Truth. We've gone through 8 days, Dan.
Two left. Uh-oh.
Two left. I really hope, this is getting ahead, I really hope we get to see the actual competition. And it doesn't just cut off at day 10.
Can you imagine if Brandon's like, oh, this needs its own book.
But before we get there, let's do a little warm up.
Mm-hmm. Luke, I have a quandary for you.
Okay.
I was getting Thai food just this evening.
I love how sometimes we're like, what are we going to get warmed up with? And it's just like, what happened today?
Well, listen, because I had a dilemma and I need to explain myself. Okay. Thai food tonight. And you know I got pad Thai. Now, listen, I get it. It's really basic choice. Tonight I was like, I don't care. I just want it. And so so this is what I ordered. Okay. Pad Thai comes out. A little bit of peanuts on the side, a little bit of crushed peanuts. Love it. No lime wedge.
Okay.
Now, doesn't matter how you feel about this. What I need you to know is I kind of wanted a lime wedge because I like to add a little bit of acid to the top of my pad Thai.
Sure.
I have always, every time I've gotten pad Thai, there's been a little bit of lime wedge somewhere in the vicinity. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
I am not a jerk at restaurants. I'm very nice. I say thank you to the servers all the time. I tip well. Like, I'm a good guy at a restaurant, okay?
I love that you're prefacing. It feels like you're prefacing something.
How? I still feel bad to ask the server to, like, bring something out that wasn't on the plate.
Yes.
Can I ask him to bring a lime, or do I have to be like, well, it's not on the dish, so I guess there's no lime?
I think that you can ask him.
Okay, here's the problem though, Luke. It feels wrong because how do I know that they have one back there? Maybe I'm like, hey, can you get a lime? And they're like, we don't have any of those.
Yeah.
And then I'm also like, look, I'm still gonna, because if I wanted to say this, I would have had to communicate to the server like, hey, look, I really like everything here. It's great. I'm not mad or anything. I'm not going to be a dick, but I just would like a lime. Can I get a lime, please? But I didn't do that.
I very much feel this because I am so passive in restaurants. To a fault, probably, where like if they don't bring me something that I do need, I'll just be like, I can live without it. Even though I know that they literally just like forgot something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I asked them for it, they'd be like, oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I have a very hard time. I think it depends on a lot of factors. A, was the restaurant busy?
It was like my partner and I and one other couple in the whole restaurant.
Okay. This helps. Because my main thing is like if it's busy and the waiter and they're like understaffed, let's say.
Yeah.
That's when I'm just like, I'm not going to bother.
So no, everybody was chilling in there. People were like watching TV. Like the servers were like watching TV waiting for people to show up.
Yeah. I guess I think that you can ask and it just, you got to get the right tone.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You're like, hey, any chance you guys have a lime wedge?
That feels bad to me. That feels bad to me because it feels like I would have expected there to be a lime wedge. And I'm just like, oh, you guys don't have one of these here?
Oh, okay.
Maybe I'm too sensitive about this. I'm just like, I was going this over the scenario in my head the whole dinner. I was like, oh, can I ask for a lime? I don't know. Well, I probably should. Well, no, it's not a big deal. I don't really care.
This is so funny. This is such a Luke and Dan thing.
I should give context as well because this was not the first time I considered asking about something. So we also ordered some vegetable spring rolls. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of a spring roll, it's like cold, got rice paper on the outside, like fresh sort of salad thing, right?
Yeah.
The things that came out were, in my mind, egg rolls. Like, definitely egg rolls.
The like deep fried
yes. thing. Not like super crispy, but like definitely more egg roll than spring roll to me. Uh-huh. Now, this could be my ignorance. Maybe I didn't read the menu as closely as I should have. But I was like, this doesn't feel like what we ordered just now.
I do think that there's some differences in what people mean when they say spring roll. Because I've had this happen to me before where when I think of spring roll, I think of what you're talking about.
Yes.
But I actually think that I've had this where I've ordered a spring roll and it has come out with the like fried version. Yes. So I think there might be just different versions.
Fair enough. But I was already primed to be like, should I ask about this or like ask to see the menu again? To just understand what happened here, to just understand the disconnect that happened. And I was like, nah, it's okay. And it's fine. We'll just eat these. And then no lime. And I was like, oh, no lime.
So you didn't, am I correct in thinking that you did not ask for a lime ultimately?
I didn't say shit, Luke.
Could it have used a little?
Yeah, it could have. I should have said something.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is what I've realized is that like some people like have the confidence to do things like this.
Yeah.
And to them, it's nothing. Uh-huh. And I think this extends to a lot of things that just bother me and make my life a little bit more difficult through my own faults. And I'm just like, man, I'm living life on hard mode sometimes. You know what I mean? Like sometimes I'll see someone that I'm working with where like something has gone wrong and they'll be like, oh, I'll just call the customer service line. And they just do it right there. And like that would take me hours to build myself up to do. And you just did it.
How is this fair?
I'm so jealous of people like this.
Yeah.
If you're out there asking for an extra lime, how good is your life?
Teach us your secrets, please. I will say it comes and goes for me. Sometimes I am lime guy. Sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, I can ask for a lime. Sometimes if I'm just like, I think I have to be in a really good spot. Right now, work is very stressful.
Yeah.
And so I'm, so I'm like not in a great headspace. So it takes a lot out of me to even consider that. But some like when things are firing at all cylinders in the summertime, I'm getting that lime.
You've got a little bit more charisma, maybe some rapport that you've already built with the waiter.
Correct. Correct. We've already got some inside jokes.
Okay. There you go. The tip to make life easier is to just already be happy. I think is what we're learning.
Turns out things are way easier that way.
Cool. Okay. I'm warmed up, I think.
Speaking of things being easier if you're just happy all the time, should we talk about our boy Seth and Kaladin and on all these fun people and Roshar?
Yeah, everybody's happy all the time on Roshar. Uh-huh. So let me just say again. We've stopped at the end of day 8. Did you want to start with Seth?
We could. Yeah.
I feel like this is the kind of structure where we kind of just go character by character.
Yeah, let's start with Seth here. I have a first note for how they're doing this whole thing. I feel like at the beginning of your quest, after you get the first honor blade, you have to ask and be like, hey, is there some alternative to us just carrying a bunch of swords around town? Can we store them somewhere? Because this is just annoying. We don't need to do this, right?
Do they have sheaths? No, right?
I don't think so. They're just tied up in a bundle, like clanging around.
Yeah, I have wondered this also because like they are incredibly dangerous.
Yes.
They cut through everything except for like aluminum, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they mentioned that they have them just like strapped to their back.
Oh, what's the evil eating sword called? The dark blood?
Night blood.
Night blood. I forgot how great of a name that is for a sword. Nightblood has asked them all to be dull. So they have like changed. Yes. Okay. They have addressed this. The swords have all changed to be dull so that they don't just slice and dice everything.
Okay. I don't know how, but this isn't part of my notes, so it's kind of off the cuff. But should they be exploiting Nightblood's ability to talk to the swords in some way?
A little bit more? 100%.
I don't know what it would do.
Here's what I think. I think these swords have been not properly utilized thus far.
Okay. I know that we have done this, but it was more about like using the swords for like construction and stuff like that.
You know what? This is actually the bit I was about to launch back into, so I appreciate you heading me off of the pass here, because like fuck, these things could be put to so much use, guys.
I think that actually we do get a thing, maybe it was mentioned in this book itself actually, where some people are using the swords for this, and I think it's like I forget the name of the country that Adeline is helping out right now that has all the rules. I think that they use the swords a little bit for mundane purposes.
Maybe. I don't quite remember, but you might be right.
But I'm thinking like, hey, what happened? You know, can you get some historical info from the swords, perhaps?
Okay. Ask him what's up.
Just some insights. I don't think
Kaladin really cares that much though, right?
Yeah, probably not.
Like if Dalinar or Navani were here, they'd be like, let's talk to those swords. Meanwhile, Kaladin's like, I'm going to play my flute and develop the entire field of psychotherapy.
Yeah, true. But yeah, we've just got like 8 swords clanging around back here.
We need a different method for this. You look foolish.
You do look foolish. They're also huge, I think.
Yeah. These are anime swords. These aren't normal person swords.
I am kind of into this little journey.
The quest.
The quest. It's a little bit frustrating that up until the very end of this section, Seth still doesn't really know what the purpose of it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's just who he is. I have a small thing that's related to Seth. So every time we go back into Seth's past,
yeah,
he has maybe a few years have passed. He's gotten more training. He's maybe moved. And every time, because he's moving like every couple years, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad keeps going with him, and his dad keeps like being elected mayor or right. Like revolutionizing the organizational structure of whatever place they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what's the deal with why Seth's dad is so good at everything? This guy's amazing.
Right. Like, why is he crushing it in everything that he does? Everywhere he
everything.
Goes?
Every time people are like, oh, this dude, and it's quick, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he got elected mayor of a new town within, like, a very short time of moving there, and then was a very effective mayor.
Right.
By the time they had been there for, like, I think it was, like, 2 years. What?
Do you think there's another story that's happening within Seth's story that's like, hey, our region is really struggling right now. We could use that consult. That you guys hired, we could use that consultant.
Right.
How do we get him over here? And it's like, no, it's really easy. You just make his kid go, and then he'll follow. He'll be right there. You don't even have to pay him, dude. You just have to make his kid come to wherever you are, and then he'll be there right. To fix shit. And they're like, oh, okay, got it. We'll yell at his kid or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I like this. Yeah. Because I think that, honestly, I feel like his dad is the main character of this story.
His dad
I didn't even talk about the fact that he starts, affair is not the right word, but he starts dating, like, the head of whatever monastery.
Right.
Immediately.
not immediately, but I feel like the mom hadn't even been out of the picture that long.
Yeah, and, like, setting aside the fact that there wasn't that much waiting, just like, I don't know, who is this guy?
We do need to know more about this guy. Yeah, we definitely do. We're starting to get a little bit more over time, which I really appreciate. He has yet to face him, though.
Right.
Which, man. I don't understand why Seth can't tell immediately that these guys are bad guys. Where they're like, oh yeah, your sister and dad, they're already dead. Don't even... It's like, guys, that's not good. You know that's bad, right? You know that that's not a good thing that your, like, sister and dad have been killed already. And that these people are just like, yeah, we're going to make you deal with the trauma of it.
Right.
Ah, I feel like it's...
It is funny. The contrast is so funny because it's like on one side, I've got this terrible quest.
Mm-hmm.
My sprint, who's kind of a dick up until recently.
Right. Has started to come around.
Coming around a little bit. Nail, who sucks, by the way.
Nail sucks.
Which I have more on him in a second.
Good.
But... And then the fact that they're having me kill all my former friends and apparently sister and dad, who actually are already dead. And then on the other side, Kaladin is like, hey, man, I just want you to be happy. Let's play some flute, dance a little. And do whatever makes us happy. The contrast there is pretty incredible.
I know. You would think that Seth could at least see that and be like, maybe I want to try that one out for a little bit.
Especially because as we get to learn more of Seth's past, it's also kind of like, shouldn't you have been able to see at this point that they were bad as well?
I
get the whole thing that I get that this is Seth's whole thing where he like cannot trust himself to make correct judgments.
Mm-hmm.
But these all seem like bad dudes. And like there's a voice in your head.
When he finds out that the source of the voice is like a gross, horrible unmade that has like spren all nailed to the wall and stuff, and it's like it honestly at this point it makes me wonder like what had to have happened? What has to happen in Seth's past where he has to, like, question his own morals again? Because I feel like at the point we are in the past where he's seen this unmade and is like, oh, wait, these people are all shitty. I should maybe... I'm going to fight. And he's kind of fighting right now. He's kind of doing what he thinks is right. It has to go horribly wrong.
Right, because we haven't gotten to the point where he actually gets... convinced that he is, as they call, truthless.
Yeah.
I don't understand how we're going to get to the point where he sees an unmade who has like been torturing and nailing up a bunch of spren, and they somehow convince him that Seth is in the wrong.
Correct.
I'm curious. It's a big ask.
Brandon, how are you going to do this?
But I guess, I don't know, Seth's pretty manipulatable, as we say, I guess.
Seems to be.
But yeah. Okay. I hinted that I want to talk about Nail.
Yeah, let's talk about Nail.
So I get that Nail, at some point in the past, for most of the past, actually, let's say, was great.
Sure.
It's kind of frustrating to me that a lot of this stuff is waved off by just like, oh yeah, the Heralds are insane.
Mm.
Because like you can kind of answer what I'm gonna say next by just saying, well yeah, he's insane.
Right.
But like, so Nail just kind of sucks because like everything he's been doing, his plans are super bad
mm-hmm.
and illogical.
Yeah.
And also like are just not good plans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the one now that is essentially to have Seth become one of the Heralds so that they can kind of like renew the Oath Pact.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yep.
Even if that works, let's say hypothetically, like it works seamlessly and the Oath Pact is back to what it once was with Seth in the place of Jezrian.
Mm-hmm.
That's still not like good. It wasn't working.
Right, you all had decided you weren't going to do it anymore.
And then, as we learn later, which I don't want to talk about in detail now, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
One of the other Heralds broke immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if you restart the Oath Pact as it was just with Seth, I don't...
It doesn't fix it.
Also...
Yeah.
I forget if it's... Maybe it's Kaladin that has... something where like didn't we just learn that they have some way to actually get from Rays to Roshar now?
Yes.
That's unconnected to the Desolations,
that's through the Everstorm.
Like, we're not fixing that either. What are you doing, Nail?
Yeah, I mean, I truly at this point it feels like listening to the Heralds is a problem. Like, I get that they're powerful, but you don't need to listen to what they have to say anymore because you have evidence that they're crazy. Like, they aren't making sense anymore. And you even have an explanation for why they're crazy, right? Like, you know why they're crazy. You know that they are irrational. You can be like, okay, look, I respect, thank you for your service, but please sit down.
Right.
We all need to figure this out now. And you've done enough, thank you, but
yeah,
just have a seat, please. Take a load off. I don't understand why they're still listening to Nail, especially after they've seen so many examples of him just like be super unreliable. I don't know. I get that there's like a cultural reason for it, that he's like a really like a godlike figure in their minds, but
right.
We gotta have a Dalinar that's questioning our theology here.
It's frustrating.
It is. Yeah.
Especially because we also learn, separate from the plan that I ranted about a moment ago, the Skybreakers have been operating this whole time.
So stupid. Yeah, I know exactly where you're going.
And there's actually two aspects of that, which, like, for the past however long, they've been just killing people that were potentially going to form Radiant Bonds.
Yeah.
Because they were like, this is going to bring back a desolation. That was obviously not true. That was just dumb to be doing that.
Yeah.
And then this little thing where they're like, wait, you don't want, you're not on Odium's side, but you've been helping him? He's like, well, yeah, that's the law. Oh my God, you're an idiot. You're an idiot, Nail.
What if in reality, Nail isn't crazy? He's just really dumb. He's been dumb the whole time and we didn't know. Like, this is who Nail's been from the drop.
And Kaladin is like frustrated with arguing with him because he thinks that he is just like crazy and doesn't apply to logic, but in reality Nail just doesn't understand what he's saying.
Nail's just like, yeah, whatever, I don't know what that means anyway. I'm a Herald, so I get to do what I want.
It's so frustrating.
Yeah, for real. There is a moment where Kaladin is climbing this mountain and he looks out and he sees Shinovar in all its splendor.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, damn, that's pretty great. And I agree with him. And it leads me to the question, why hasn't there been way more war in Shinovar? I don't understand. Why is, like, the Alethi people are fighting over, like, gross creme-covered plateaus and, like, getting gem hearts and stuff. Sorry, there's, like, a beautiful oasis that's protected from the high storm right over those mountains over there, and you have the best fighting force that's been assembled. Go take it. Go take it. It sounds awesome.
Right. And they don't have a particularly strong fighting. Well, I guess they have the like honor bearers and stuff like that, but generally their army is not really there.
Right. Right.
It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I feel like maybe geography has something to do with it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think it's been a while since this has come up, but is Roshar really difficult to sail across the, like, oceans because of the high storm?
I can't remember. I think
there's a chance that they just, like, can't get there very easily or something.
But there's, like, raiders that go all the time, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. Because I'm just like, if I hear one of these stories from a raider and he's like, they have this stuff called grass. Have you guys heard of grass before? I would want to go see, right, at the very least.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
Seems great over there.
It seems too good. Like, I want it. I would want it if I didn't live there. And if they didn't give it to me, I'd fight for it. I'm saying there should be more violence in Shinovar.
Always. We always love violence. Mm-hmm. No, that's a good point. Maybe they're just like, that's weird. I don't like that.
It's unnerving.
It's very unnerving. Okay. Do you have any more on Seth, or are you ready to move to different characters?
I've got some more in Shinovar. I've got one more thing in Shinovar before we move on.
Okay, let's stay there.
So Seth wins his sword. He wins his honor blade.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of other honor bearers that are there to witness it. And they're talking about what everybody's, like, off doing. And they're like, oh, yeah, this person is, like, not here. Like, this blade doesn't exist anymore. This blade is doing this. The bondsmith was busy with some election or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I just find it funny that they, like, there's one of them that does, like, elections for some reason. And it just seems like we don't know anything about the bondsmith in Shinovar yet, but it feels so funny that they're all, like, fighting and training in the way of the blade, and then one guy's like, okay, everybody gets one vote. You only get one vote. You got to make sure you register, and here's your polling place. They're, like, coordinating an election in a city, and the blade is just sort of, like, there. They're not, like, fighting or anything. They're just, like, yeah, you guys go over here, like, directing with the blade of, like, make sure you form a nice line for our elections.
Right.
It's just so weird. It's a very weird contrast to how everybody else is.
Yeah. I would have liked them to have, like, some kind of organizational duties that are thematically consistent with their...
ooh.
Like, title. I don't necessarily know what those would be, but
I feel like Windrunner's got to be, like, firefighting or something.
Firefighting and courier.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Windrunners run the postal service.
Mm-hmm. Oh, be very good. Stone. What are the stone guys?
A construction. Yeah. Obviously.
Of course.
There's more.
Edge dancers, hockey.
That, of course.
Wait a minute, you need on.
Head of hockey.
Right, in the government. The government has a hockey department.
Exactly.
They'd be good. They'd be good at it.
Light weavers, head of drama.
Arts and drama.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
we gotta do thematic stuff.
More themes. That's all. More themes.
More themes.
Doesn't all
always
have to be fighting.
More themes.
Luke and Dan are always anti-fighting, pro do something cool with the magic.
That's right.
From day one, we've been that.
That's
way.
Our theme, Dan.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, Shinnevar's weird, though.
It is weird. It is weird. I feel like everybody should want to go. Get some tourism going on, Shinnevar. Let's get out of here, though. We got to get out of here to somewhere normal.
Got to get out of here. I'm going to do a very small note about Relaine.
Uh-huh.
So he gets a vision that is...
Oh, yeah.
This one just felt brutal to me for some reason.
Yeah.
I feel like there are worse out there, but... So his was... He was originally one of the... Parshendi that actually had forms before the desolation.
Yeah.
And then they were talking about sending spies as Parshmen. Mm-hmm. And in this little group circle, they were trying to figure out who would go, and everyone could not go because they were too important.
Yeah.
And then he offers to go, and they're like, oh yeah, that's perfect. You won't miss. And the implication is there that like no one will miss you. Brutal.
It was really tough, especially how everyone's sort of like, well, you know, I would totally go, but like I got some stuff I'm working on around here. Like I've got my music that I'm doing, and like I've got this girl that I'm seeing, so it's getting kind of serious. And then they just kind of side eye over to Relaine and be like, well, anything new with you? Or
I know. I feel like everyone was lying about how important they were. Also.
Oh, 100%. Like, you know, some of those guys are just sitting at home like, I should do a puzzle today.
Also, shouldn't we be having like a spy corps, like a group? And you could just get like normal, you don't have to have one person go who is one of the leaders. If Relaine was one, you could be like, okay, let's ask for, you know, 20 volunteers from our group of Parshendi.
Especially considering like it seems to be a misunderstanding of what spying is. Like spying is not one person seeing what they can see and then right. and then emailing everyone else like, here's what I saw today. Spying is like a coordinated effort of like information gathering in right. important places. So like you need somebody who's organizing the spying effort. You need somebody who's like choreographing.
Master of whispers.
You need a master of whispers. And Relaine could do that and then get volunteers to go in and be Parshmen and like, because it sounds like that. The results, he's like, yeah, I found out a few things, but they would always kick me out before I could really learn a lot. And so I was just kind of stuck there not doing anything and eventually got put on the bridges. Yeah, because you guys came up with a bad plan and nobody coordinated it. You know what the most brutal part of this is, I'm realizing? Now, this is a dark way to take this, to read this section.
Okay.
But one reading is they didn't really want Relaine to be hanging out with them anymore.
They ditched him.
And so they came up with a job that like literally no one else could do. Somebody proposed this idea of like, hey, just throwing it out here. What if one of us goes and is a Parshmen? And everyone's like, oh, that's a great idea, but I can't. Who could do it? And then they all just look over at Relaine.
It does feel this way because I forget if they sent more, but it does feel like Relaine is like the only one that goes.
Kind of does feel that way, huh?
Poor guy.
I'm glad he's found a new family and a boyfriend, and it seems like he's having a good life now.
Yeah.
Because he was done so dirty.
He was.
Especially... Especially because, like, there's a lot of homophobia here in this section, right? Like, you could actually, now that we're talking more about this, you could absolutely read this as like them casting him out because he's gay. Because this is after this is all found out. And that became a point in the discussion of like, well, you don't have a war mate.
Right.
So I think, and I actually have a note about this because I'm...
Okay.
Nobody wants to let the guys kiss. Let the boys kiss, okay? Why are both of our societies like kind of anti-boy kissing? I mean, I know why, but like...
I was going to say, I mean, it's a very common thing for societies.
It just feels like the Parshendi, you had an opportunity, guys. You could have been different.
It does feel like the Parshendi in general are set up to be more accepting, but they didn't end up being that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Tough hit. Just let the boys kiss, please.
That's right.
Anyway.
I do think it's funny that when they finally have this moment in this, like, I guess it's not a vision, but...
Yeah, in the spirit world with the, like, mirrors and stuff, the stained glass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rinnerin notices Shallan, or is told by his spren that Shallan started watching and, like, starts squealing.
right.
I thought that was fun. I got a little laugh at that.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice.
Okay. What else is going on in the spirit realm? A lot of just like a lot of history that isn't helping us quite as much up until the last scene we see where they capture Ba'ado Mishram, I think, is like the big thing that breaks honor or something like that.
Yeah, which speaking of letting people kiss, just like this scene was very tough for me because I feel like Brandon did a very good job of conveying how much of a betrayal this was and how horrible this thing was that they did. Because it truly was, like, reading this, I was right there with Dalinar, like, oh, guys, this is fucked up. Like, you guys have a chance here for things to get a lot better.
Right.
And you've completely smashed it. You've ruined it. And made it horrible for so many people for so long for no reason. Like,
yeah,
you had a chance. You had a moment. And it was tough. It was a tough read for them to trap Mishram.
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of interesting because it was something that, like, I genuinely did not know how it was going to go.
Uh-huh.
Like, I actually did think that the Windrunner guy that we were following was going to be the source of the betrayal.
Yeah.
Even though it was kind of set up to where that bondsmith, I forget his name, everybody was like, this guy kind of sucks. Even before we actually got to the moment.
Right.
But yeah, it just seems so nice. Like, everything about that scene was going super well and positive. We got a little kiss between the Windrunner and the listener. I forget her name. And then Mishram came up and she seemed cool.
Yeah, she was like, hey, we can fix all this, guys. We can work together. We can do it. There is the reason why it was so disappointing is because there's this moment of hope that felt like it was snatched away thousands of years ago. And now we've seen the result of this horrible thing. It's just like thousands of years of death and tragedy because two people had the hope to try something.
Right.
And were vulnerable for once, and this is how they were repaid. And now it all makes sense why Mishram is so angry all the time. It's like, understandable.
Yeah. The one thing I still like am struggling with is I can't quite figure out what's going on with Honor, the like actual god.
What do you mean, what's going on?
Like, we hate him, I think. Do we? Is this the moment? Because from Dalinar's perspective, he says that like this is the moment that broke Honor.
Yeah.
And we have heard that Honor dies.
Yes.
Is that what he means? Because like in the actual scene, nothing happens to him, I don't think.
He just pushes the bondsmith to actually do it. He's the one who tells the bondsmith to do it.
Right. I do get it because like Honor is the god of like oaths and stuff like that. And this is I forget what the oath is, but this is like breaking a promise or something. So like I would understand if this is the thing that causes the power to like separate from the person. I just didn't actually see it.
It hasn't happened yet because the Stormfather has alluded to what we're about to see. What he's going to show Dalinar is the actual life of Honor.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think we're going to find out in the next bit. It sort of feels like Honor is responding out of fear here. It sort of feels like Honor is afraid that this new deal is going to somewhat diminish his power as well. Like it feels like when Honor pushes the bondsmith to do this, it doesn't feel like he's saying to do it because it's an oath or whatever. It feels like he's saying to do it out of like fear for this changing new world that is potentially going to be forged, which sort of feels like a kind of like a recurring theme in these books, is like people resistant to change and using their power and influence to stop that change from happening.
Yeah. God, isn't that the worst?
Ugh. When you mean when people try and change things? Yeah, it's pretty bad. Pretty bad. So
yeah.
So yeah, I think we're gonna find out soon. Hopefully. We've read a lot of pages building up to this, Brandon.
Yeah. Yeah, we have.
So we'll see what happened to Honor, but I will say this reveal where they capture Mishram was a tough one. It was tough.
It was. Yeah. Yeah.
While we're in the spirit realm, before we move on from the spirit realm, there was a moment where Odium takes over and is like, oh, you guys are mine. Like I'm running this show now. And Taravingian or Odium talks to Yasna or somebody and is essentially like, I can't stay here for long. I have to go back to toying with Dalinar. Did you have a moment where it felt like Odium was going to pull a daylight savings time on him where he was like, haha, your watches were actually set back 2 days and it's actually if you forfeit. You just missed the competition.
This has been your whole thing. You had this theory last time too.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like it's getting support because Odium's like, hey, I've been fucking with Dalinar for like a few days now. And then he shows up and he's like, you're mine, Dalinar. This feels sort of like a daylight saving. You forgot about daylight savings time. Sort of like the Watchmen. I did that 30 minutes ago. It feels like he's doing this intentionally.
Yeah.
Especially considering there's no tie at all between what's happening in the spirit realm and the real world. Like, we are assuming their watches work.
Mm-hmm. Right, because this originally was supposed to be just a little trial run.
Correct. Meanwhile, Wits over here, like, dripping water into their mouths to hope they don't dehydrate to death. And we don't know if these are asynchronous or not.
Right. This is true.
We're assuming these are happening in the same time frame, but Wit gave many warnings about how quickly time can pass in the spirit realm.
Yeah. And they were like, I think this watch thing might work, but we'll see.
They didn't test the watch at all.
They didn't test it. Yeah, it could be. It could be. That's a concern. Uh-oh. Don't give me more anxiety about this, Dan.
Sorry. Sorry, Lou.
Oh man, but we're getting close. I have another note because we're talking about reveals.
Yeah.
a little bit. I want to talk about Shallans.
That her mom's a herald.
Yes. So there were kind of like two, this was a multi-stage reveal, I think. And it was funny because at first there is the reveal that her mom is a herald.
Yes.
And for one thing, I think that was also new to Shallan as well, right?
I think so, because I don't think she knew what Chana looked like.
Right.
But she learned what Chana looked like in the spirit realm.
Yeah. This was a little bit funny to me because when I read this, the first half of the reveal, which is just this, that her mom is the herald, I was kind of like, okay, like that's interesting, but like, so what?
Tell me something. Like at first,
it felt like we were just in a book where just all like a Star Wars book, right?
I had the like, same thought. Everybody's related.
All the characters are like related in some way. Okay. And yes. I was just like, this doesn't matter.
Yes.
Who cares? And I was a little bit annoyed. But then later, there's the big reveal that actually she, Shallan's mom, is the reason that this desolation started. Because Shallan kills her.
Yep.
She goes back to Braze. And then she is the one that breaks to start the desolation, not Town.
What?
And I don't know where that's... Like, I don't know necessarily like the implications of that for the rest of the book.
Yeah.
But that one, as like the secondary reveal related to Shallan, I was like, ooh, that's more satisfying.
That was a big hit. That was a spicy meatball for sure.
That's right.
I think it does a lot more to characterize Town than her. Because can we talk about how much of an MVP Town is?
Oh my gosh.
So first of all, we get the scene where he decimates a bunch of fused because they tried to kill a bunch of the people in the hospital. And just a completely anime, like, sorry kid, snuck up behind you sort of stabbing motion for this, like, running through the streets, killing, like, everything he sees. Amazing. And then we find out he didn't even break, dude.
I know.
Everybody assumed, like, oh, no, it's totally understandable. Like, he broke. He was there for thousands of years by himself. Like, who wouldn't have? We all broke. Of course he would. It makes sense. He didn't even break. Put respect on his name.
I know.
Like, come on. The best out of all of you, by far.
By far, yeah.
There's no question in my mind. He should be the top. Make him the ruler.
Did you have a moment when he, like in the scene where he starts fighting?
Yeah.
Where you thought he was going to become lucid and we were going to like actually get from him? Because like, so what happens, right, is the fused comes into the little hospital room and... I forget whose perspective we're seeing in this scene, but they say that it gets quiet and it's because Town has stopped like mumbling. Mm-hmm. I like, don't get me wrong. What did happen was awesome.
Yeah.
But I thought for a moment and I was getting hyped for it that we were going to get like, he's for some reason, this has like snapped him back to sanity.
Mm.
And I was like, we're doing it.
Give us some wisdom, Town.
Now again, not to take away from what actually happened,
right?
I thought though Town was gonna like take over leadership of the defense,
yeah,
and just like win.
Yeah, I also thought this was gonna be a turning point, but we're not far enough. We're not close enough to the end for that to happen. So
no.
Yeah. The other thing is, so at this point, right, they aren't gonna come back. Because normally what would happen is they go to Braze, they'd all go eventually, and then they could come back once one of them broke, right?
I think so.
Because Town came back because Chana broke, right?
Right. Yeah.
So now if they die, they do go back to Braze, but there's no Like, they would have to all go back and then one of them break. You know what I mean? I feel like they're stuck there now.
I think that's true. It's not. I forget why the Fused are able to come back.
Right.
I think that the Heralds just have to stay to, like, actually create the lock or something like that.
Yeah. I think that's right. Anyway, tough stuff for Tom. Just really deserved a bigger... He deserves so much more, honestly.
Right. Clearly the best fella.
The best of us.
In the game. I do like that they call him the Bearer of Agonies.
Yeah.
It's very intense.
It's really intense. It's so good. Everything about Talon is peak in my mind.
I know. I have one small note on this section since we're on like the Adelin area.
Yeah.
He has this interaction with the Emperor, mm-hmm. where one of his soldiers is being punished for basically making the correct decision, but the illegal decision. Mm-hmm. And Adelin goes and like talks to this soldier, and he gives a little speech. I think his name is Gezimal. He gives a little speech on patriotism, kind of, about how like his country's not perfect, but but nothing's perfect, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And like, I really liked it.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's actually topical for right now, necessarily.
Don't think it is. Yeah.
I'm not trying to link it to current events. Like, yeah. I'm actively not trying to.
Yeah.
But I just want to say I liked it.
Yeah.
I was into it.
I agree. I think it was a great speech. And yeah, I'm struggling because I'm in the same place you are. We're like, I don't think it applies to our current situation, but in another time it could.
In a more hopeful time, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, good little scene there. Speaking of the bit with Adelin, though.
Yeah.
How is the best we can do a peg leg, guys? At one point they mentioned that they put a little rubber stopper on the end. Like one of those door stoppers. He's slip sliding around all over the place with this thing. You tell me we've got Fabrials that do binoculars that can identify living beings if you do a voice command, but we don't have like an articulating ankle prosthetic yet.
Yeah, but I feel like the... what do I want to say?
The Alethi are at war all the time. How many of their people have like prosthetic limbs?
Right.
A lot.
I mean, probably. Okay, I will say the Fabrial stuff is like all pretty new.
Sort of, yeah, you're right. Okay, you're right. About peg leg?
I do feel
peg leg's
like...
pirate technology. Can we talk about this? Just peg leg is pirate technology, guys. This is what happens when you're on a ship with nothing but like a bit of wood to fix your leg.
Right.
We're not on a ship.
Here's my analysis though,
okay.
Because so there's the possibility to, now that they have like the healing magic, I'm gonna call it,
mm-hmm.
He can regrow his leg. But there is like a small chance that he can't, and the small chance that he can't is if he like, my interpretation is if he has like basically learned to accept that as part of himself.
Yeah.
I feel like they have to make it kind of bad, right? Because if they make it really good,
yeah,
and they have like an articulating leg and it like works pretty well,
yeah,
then maybe that the storm like has a less probability of working.
Okay, I can hear you. I hear what you're saying. If that were the case, if I were concerned about that, I'd be like, don't put that peg leg on me.
Right, yes, I agree.
Right? Like, I feel like it would
take... I'm rolling around. I'm not even using crutches.
Yeah. I'm hopping. I'm hopping everywhere, so I'm constantly reminded that I'm missing one of these things.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. So if you're going to do anything about it, at least get me something where I'm not slip sliding around everywhere. Put a roller skate on the bottom of that peg leg.
Oh, okay.
Pretend to be an edge dancer.
Interesting idea. Yeah. The whole healing thing is kind of interesting to think about, because they have like, they have an intermediate healer, and then there's some strategy here that I've just alluded to.
But also, if they lose the battle, they're all going to die and they're not going to get to heal it anyway.
Right.
So you got to do just enough.
Just enough. That's right. It's a fine line. I also think that there's, depending on how mental it is, like, I feel like, because Lopin, we get a reference to, who has regrown his arm despite being, like, having only one arm for, like, a long period of his life. So,
yeah,
there is a way for you to just be like, no, I have an arm now, actually.
I actually want an arm, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Who have we missed? We haven't really talked about Rinnerin that much, even though we talked about Relaine.
No, yeah, we haven't really talked about Rinnerin. I don't know. He's fine.
I don't have a ton going on him.
I hope
it's kind of same old, where it's like he's kind of a shy guy, but he's learning to accept it or something.
I mean, I'm happy for him and Relaine. That's great.
Yeah.
Good for them. I have a feeling like they're going to be what convinces Mishram to not be terrible anymore. Because, all right, can I make a prediction before we get to the last third of the book?
Yeah.
How I feel like it's going? I feel like Dalinar is going to lose.
Okay.
I feel like Odium's going to get control of Dalinar. However, Mishram is going to get free and, like, not hate humans anymore. Because she's gonna realize maybe there is some hope.
Ooh, okay.
And then we're gonna get somebody who can potentially contest Odium. And that's gonna be a real battle that happens.
I'm into that.
Because I feel like the Relaine and Rinnerin sort of relationship there's a lot of parallels with when Mishram was captured.
Yes, for sure, for sure.
And she could see this as the hope. Like, there is hope for this to still happen.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Anyway. I don't know, though. I have no idea. I have no idea what's going to happen.
Put that one on the books. The one thing can I do a little bit of a rant?
Yeah.
That I'm frustrated with our strategy that we've taken here, because there's a thing that Odium in this section says, which is that he kind of wins either way.
Yes, like, he does say that.
Depending on the outcome of the contest, like, can go good for him whichever way it goes.
Yeah.
And so this whole plan is basically just because Dalinar heard from the Stormfather that honor thousands of years ago was like, the plan is Contest of Champions. But now we're kind of like, oh, honor kind of sucked.
Yeah.
I just...
like, why is this still know. The plan?
This is just dumb. What is this? What are we doing here?
Right. I think it's really funny that a lot of this is starting to come down to semantics, which we've been calling for the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, each of these places that is being potentially conquered, everyone's like, hey, wait, 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 pull up the law again. Pull up the law. Quick. Get the law. How does this work? Is there a loophole?
Sigzil is trying to come up with a plan to just, like, have them, like, off the platform at the time that it, when the clock strikes zero.
See, what he needs to do is just call opposite day, right? Ooh. When they get on there. Say it's opposite day.
Yep.
And then if they do own the platform, they actually don't own the platform because it's opposite day.
You know what we should have done? A little sign switcheroo.
Oh,
like,
actually, that's, yes.
Actually, Narak 1 is this one. actually.
They go to the fork in the road where there's a bunch of signs telling you which is which, and they just switch them around a little bit, do a little Looney Tunes, switch around the signs.
Exactly. Yeah.
We actually renamed it, so it's actually 1,000 miles that way. Sorry, you just missed it. You want to take a left at the fork, not a right. It's a common mistake.
Very common mistake. Yeah.
Yeah, this even has precedent. Like, in our world, in the good old earth, on the good old earth, there are countries that move their capitals all the time. Mm-hmm. They're just like, hey, our capital's now over there.
Yeah.
All you have to do is just say it. You just have to be like, hey, you guys, it's definitely in our best interest to move it, right? Yeah. Okay, we'll move it. It's over there now. That's all you have to do.
That's right. That's all we've been saying for weeks, Luke and Dan.
Get into the semantics. Especially with Yasna and Teravingian, they're going to have a good old-fashioned debate.
A little debate. Nice.
It had to do. Brandon's just like, what are my characters all good at? We're going to have them do those things to win.
Dalinar, one-on-one. Yasna, debate me. Kaladin, are you happy or not?
Kaladin, do your therapy thing. we're all trying. Shallan, talk about how fucked up your family is.
That's right.
We're all contributing.
yeah. Last thing I'm excited to learn about. What's going on with this pool?
Ooh, the golden pool under Narok Prime.
A little hot tub down here under Narok Prime.
Seems important.
You getting in?
I think I'm waiting. I'm letting somebody else take a plunge. Throw someone
in. Come on. No. Throw one of you guys in.
As a prank?
Just be like, it's probably not going to work. We should throw one of us in, though, just because, like.
what's not going to work?
I don't know what it's going to do.
You can't get in.
Do a little cannonball. It can't help Odium, right?
That's probably true. Yeah, it wouldn't have been hidden down here if it could help Odium.
Right. Maybe do something. Pee in it a little.
I was about to say maybe pee in it. as an option. I mean, they have to take a vote, right? The five of them have to vote.
True.
I think peeing it could be a good option.
Okay, that's plan A.
We'll let them vote, though. Well, Luke, we're going to wrap up for next week. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what. If peeing in the magical pool is just one of the examples of the hot takes we're going to be bringing, we'll be back next week with even more hot takes.
And still being dumb nerds.